Morning. How is everybody? Oh, y'all do better than that. I think y'all still asleep. Now bear with me this morning. This is the first time I think I've used the mic, so if I'm this number, just try to listen good. But I'm glad to see everybody. I'm glad to be back in the house of the Lord. Be able to come this morning prepared for a little bit of a teaching to kind of set the way for Mr. Teddy to come and preach later on. And who else had a pretty good week? Decent. Okay. You got up. That's good enough, ain't it? Well, I'm glad y'all have, but this morning I want you to get your minds right. You're here again. You're blessed to be here again. He's given you the opportunity to be here again. To worship Him. Listen, we're on this side of heaven right now. That's all we're going to be doing when we get to that side. That's all the angels do around the throne room right now. We need to be excited to be in the Lord's presence in His house. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, groups, whatever it is. You need to come with thanksgiving and a little bit of gratitude. He brought you through this week. Let your heart feel full because of that. That's why my heart's full this morning. The church continues to grow. Listen, I helped Teddy Monday night, I believe it was, Ted. We packed tables from one side of the nursery to the other. The nursery that's growing. Listen, when you got to expand a nursery, you got a pretty good problem. There's a lot of babies here. That's the next generation. I heard that a lot when I was young, the next generation. Well, now we're here. People like me and Emily, we grew up pretty much here. And now it's our turn. We're moving into ministry, doing things, working for the Lord. But this morning, I want to talk about faith. Something that is essential to our walk with Christ. If you ain't got faith, you can't really go nowhere. That's why that shield of faith, I believe that's the only part of that armor that moves. Everything else is stuck in one place. But the shield, you can move. You cover the back, your front, your side. That's the reason that faith is put into that shield. They were understanding that because you think of the Roman centurions and all that, you know, the military men of that time had all these things. That shield would move. It's no coincidence that when it was said, he set it up in this way. So that you can move it. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Scripture says so we can get away from the fiery darts of the evil one. That's why he would try to shoot in the weak spots of your armor, wherever that would be. That shield would set up and cover that hole that needed to be covered, that armor plate on your chest or your shins or whatever couldn't do. So moving into this, I'm going to be in John 17 and 24. If you'd like to stand with me and we'll read this short verse, then I'll let you sit down because I'm just going to be bouncing around this morning. John 17 and 24, and this I read the New King James. It says, and this is Jesus here. So I want everybody to get that in your mind. This is Jesus Christ. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. You can be seated. Okay, that's Jesus desiring. Y'all catch the word desire there. He wants us. Listen, we were created to be where he's at. We're not meant to just live on this world and croak one day, and that be it. He wants to be with us, have relationship. You just got to do it a little bit different here than what we're going to be able to get to there. That's going to be face-to-face. This here is by faith. This is when you move by this word, by the Spirit, by prayer, all these things. But moving on into 18, and I believe this is, to me anyways, this is probably some of the most powerful scripture to me in the Bible, is the garden. When Jesus moves, he knows what's about to happen. You know, Judas has done gone and got cash. He's about to betray him. Peter and John and everybody that he's walked with and loved for 3 years is asleep. It's just him. And in Luke 22, it actually says that he's in agony. He is praying so hard. Anybody ever been in agony? Everybody knows what that feels like? He is in agony, praying to the Father. Listen, Jesus did not want to do this. This was going to hurt. He knew what was coming. He knew what was going to happen. The same Jesus here is the same one that watched Satan fall out of heaven. He knows. And he is praying to the point that he's bleeding. And people say, man, that's crazy. Well, we just ain't dedicated enough. I don't believe. I think you would see these things if we were dedicated enough. But what we do, give 5, 10, 15 minutes, we're like, oh, that's good, Lord. I'll see you next Sunday. That ain't faith. That's just getting by. That's what's wrong with a lot of churches, a lot of people within the church. You take God as one day and then try to drag yourself across 6 days in a week, and it's not going to happen. You want to know why you feel beat up, why you're tired, why you're hurting, why you can't. There's no peace in your life. It feels like chaos at all times. That's not God. That's Satan. Because you won't take power and authority over it. You're supposed to serve the one who was given all power and authority. Start acting like it. It's time to stand up on your feet, quit saying, woe is me, and grab a hold of Jesus Christ and walk with him. That's what all this is about. That's the reason we're in the shape that we're in. Why this Western church don't see miracles and don't see signs and yada, yada, yada. We're so busy. Well, we need to get that done so we can go eat. And then we go home and lay on the couch. Go take your nap, ain't we? But in this here, as he prays, if you look back through John 17, he prays first for himself. I've heard some people say, well, you don't really need to pray for yourself. Why not? Like, I've never understood that when I heard somebody say that, you know, and it's not been here, it's been in the outside world, okay? But hearing people say, well, you don't really need to pray for yourself. I'm like, man, what's the point of even trying if you're not going to pray for yourself, son? Listen, I pray for myself a lot. Because he's got a lot to deal with right here. I'm just, laying it out there. I'm tough at times. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. But first, he prays for self. Straight to God. Thanking him for the ministry. Gird me up, because what I'm about to do, I don't want to do. This is going to hurt. I'm going to be in agony. He's already in agony because of prayer, but now he's about to go through some fleshly agony. I want you to understand also that in this time frame, this is not so much fleshly hurt and anguish. This is something spiritual. He's feeling it in the flesh, don't get me wrong. But this is a battle in the fleshly realm of things, where we so often don't get to because we're so spoiled as Christians. Where we need to be, because this is where things get done. And we see that he's praying and he's in agony and he's doing all these things right here. He's praying over the disciples. Then he goes and the third thing he does is he prays for everybody that's going to come to him. You see a lot of videos on like TikTok and Facebook and stuff like that. People that aren't in church that are trying to fight Christianity, that tears me up. Because I want to grab them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start talking about Jesus, I got a problem. But anyways, he's praying in this time frame. They'll say, well, that was then. The third thing my Jesus does in the garden is pray for me. He prayed for Leanne and Kayla and Pat. Listen, I think we dumb this down sometimes and we forget that he's God. He knows and he sees. He's praying for you right here before the cross. That's what Jesus is doing. And he goes into a spiritual realm of things to where finally an angel of the Lord comes to him. And listen, I don't think it made everything perfectly right and set him up to say, okay, well, we'll just go on. I believe there was still some tugging in his chest, even with the angel of the Lord, even with talking straight to the Father. So, man, I know what I got to do, but I really don't want to. When he says, can you pass this cup from me? I'm just going to give y'all a dumbed-down holler boy version of what he's saying. If there's any other way that we could do this, can we do it that way? Because I don't want to do it this way. I really don't. He moves through this. And then the arrest comes. And in 18, they pass over the brook called Kidron. Now, Kidron in the Hebrew, because it didn't change when it came into the Greek. It's the same word, they just spelled it differently. Kidron means dark or gloomy. That's the meaning of that word. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the Lord took the disciples across this dark, gloomy place in Scripture, setting the tone. See, we read these things, or at least I do. Y'all might take a different one. But we read this and it's like, you know, bam, 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 bam. We don't give no stop and thought to it at times. And I'm bad for that until he gets me ready to preach or teach. Then I can actually slow down. But there's a dark, gloomy place. Jesus knows this. He's of this area. All the disciples know of this. They're from this area. They understand what this word means. And I'm sure as Peter and John and a few others probably took a step through this brook and then come out on the other side, they were thinking, why are we going across this dark, gloomy, no good for nothing place? The Lord knows what's about to happen. He knows that Judas has betrayed him and set him up. He knows that all these people are coming to get a hold of him. He understands where he's about to go with the arrest, with the beat, with the whipping, with the cross. and still goes. That's faith. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about this morning, where I'm trying to get you to. The Lord showed us the perfect faith. Perfect. It's time that we start showing Him a little more than just okay faith. You want to see people saved? You want to see your family members in church? You want to see communities turned around? It's up to you. Just like seeing the Spirit of God move in church. If you sit and you see, praise the Lord. That'll really do it. Give the Lord some praise like He deserves it, because He does. And then, through your effort, He's good enough to say, okay, here's the helper. And He will send you good church services, good revival, people getting saved. We baptized one in the creek Friday evening. You want to know why? Somebody was faithful. And somebody's probably been praying since he walked out the doors the last time to come back home. Faith. And how you walk this out is up to you. We can all say that we're Christian. Listen, that's in a lot of people's bios. They don't live that life. If you have no fruit, I'm looking at trees nowadays. And if you just got green leaves, there's something wrong. I'm looking for fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of what's actually going on. Fruit that you actually serve who you say that you serve. The world's got everything twisted, and we know it's got to go this way, don't get me wrong. But I'm looking for fruit. And if you ain't got no apples, much more I can say. Something's wrong. You've got to have truth, faithfulness. Get into those places. Break yourself down. Learn to pray. Learn to talk to Him. Learn to read this word. Listen, that gets me all kinds. People say, I can't hear God, Josh. If you'd pick this up and read one page, you'd probably hear Him. They're in red. Pick it up. I don't get that. And listen, I wanted to read all my life. And I just hate reading. Like, in school, if anybody in here was a teacher and had me, I apologize. I just want to say I'm sorry. Because I did anything except what they wanted me to do, especially when it came to opening a book. I'd sink down in the seat, tell them I didn't even have it, you know, all the good lies. But this started this whole walk all over again. A little over a year ago now, me and my wife. And this time something's different. I got a hunger and a want to be here. Be in this Bible. Bring the word. Listen, this right here is a shock to me too. When I got called to do this, I was like, ugh. You want me doing what and where? The first time I preached, I think there was like 7 million people walking through that door, and I was thinking, Teddy, shut the door. But you learn to get in His presence and in His word. And I'm telling you, when you walk by that first chair right there, you can feel the Spirit of the Lord hit you. And then you get up here and you can do anything with anyone, with any, everywhere. You can do it because He girds you up. That same power that landed in Jesus, where He said, all right, I don't want to, but I'm going, is the same kind of power that lives in you and moves you in church services when you're out in the world and that hits you and you're like, Lord, I can't pray for them. What happens? if you try to walk away, me anyways, it's like he hits me again. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to be faithful because you were faithful. I'm talking about true faithfulness. I'm talking about the I Am of old. The one that said he wouldn't never leave you and never forsake you, and walked inside the furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. The same God that shut the mouths of lions to let Daniel sit with them all night long when he was caught up in something because they set him up. I'm talking about the same promise keeper that talked to David that said, your seed will sit on the throne forever. And in a virgin all them years later, listen, I don't know if you understand this or not. This wasn't a week. This was years later that he sent Jesus Christ. And guess what happened when Jesus hit the earth? He's going to take the throne and sit there forever and ever and ever. And we're going to get to praise him forever and ever and ever. Where are my saints of God this morning? Wake up! He pulled you out of the pit where you were dead and lifeless in your sin. Reached you up way up here where you don't belong. Put the Holy Spirit in your bones. Listen, if you can't feel him, it's your own problem. Wake up! I can feel him. I love him. He's here. We can get all excited over football and basketball and baseball, NASCAR, sports in general. Why can't we come to church and do that? Why can't we move in that when we get here? Listen, LeBron James ain't never done nothing for me. Not a thing. He don't even know I'm on this planet. There's one that sits beside the Father that wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life and said, that right there is worth dying for. When I know I wasn't. Take your halos off. Let's talk. True faithfulness this morning. Somewhere we got to be. We got to move to. And it's all in your decision. I know that times get tough. Mornings are rough. I get that. I got two boys. I got a wife I'm trying to raise. You know how it is. It's actually the other way around. No, she's got me building a chicken coop right now. But I understand how tough it can be at times. How bad life does actually get. I understand that. And I know I'm a lot younger than most people, but I've seen my fair share of bad. Everybody has. Everybody's got a story. That whole thing, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. I've learned that in my life. You don't ever know what somebody's going through. But listen, I can tell you one thing for certain, because he's been bringing me through this. I want to try to help you and teach you on how to make sure that you stay in this kind of faithfulness here in this Holy Spirit. Like I said, for one, it's a decision. We can all wake up every morning mad at the world, stomp out the house. We can all do that. Or you can get up and the first thing you can do in your mind, listen, your flesh here, there ain't but one way to get rid of this. As soon as your feet hit the floor, as soon as you sit up out of bed, whatever your routine is, just start choosing him. Listen, I've found, guys, that if I just say Jesus, that starts turning things. Because there's power and authority in the name of Jesus. If you're mad and upset, and I know you'll grit your teeth because I have before too. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be happy right now. I just want to be mad. Listen, me and him have these talks. We really do. I'll be at work. And I'm like, Lord, You're going to have to get that one, because he's aggravating the life out of me. But as soon as I start talking in that, and start talking to him, everything changes. Everything starts moving. Because you take flesh and you put him down here. That's what I'm trying to get through this morning. Get up every morning and choose God. Listen, I think we get so deeply rooted in everything we got to do, and I understand, like, life is busy nowadays. I get that. Like, I got one that's about to be 4 and one that's going to be 1 year old, and it feels like we just brought them home. I get it. I understand. But listen, wake up, and if you're saved, if you got that robe of precious blood wrapped around you this morning, think of him for 1 second. He gave everything he had to offer. In Revelation, where John sees nobody worthy to open the scroll and break loose the seals, but there's one, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's Jesus Christ, was worthy to open that. He didn't have to come down here and die for any of you, for me or anybody else. I think that's another misconception. People think that he just showed up in flesh one day. That ain't no. No, bud. When he said, "I saw Lucifer fall like lightning out of heaven," he was there. He didn't get made up one day when the world needed saving. He was sitting on the throne beside the Father way back then. That's what you need to think. Start fixing your mind to think about the goodness. Like Isaiah saw him, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You got to start thinking these things. It's scripture. It's okay to think about it. If it ain't, we've been doing things wrong the whole time we've been doing this. Think of his goodness. Listen, on the cross, and I just want... He's got nerve endings and organs and bones hanging out of his body, people. This was not pretty. And I'm sure they didn't sand this cross down with a sander and buff it out before they put him on it. I'm sure there was axe marks and everything else all down this thing. Now you imagine, because I'm sure somebody in here at some point in time has felt a nerve rolled or something. Amen? Those hurt, don't they? Imagine 8 or 10 of them dragging the bark of a tree. And he is still thinking of me and you while he's doing it. There has never been a more ugly way for somebody to die than a Roman crucifixion. And he done it with us on his mind. This scripture right here, John 17, tells you that. He's getting ready to do all that and die. And one of the last prayers he prays is, "Lord, the believers that are coming." That's you. That's me. So we can wake up every morning and say, "Lord, get in my mind before I do this morning. Let me see your glory and your majesty. Let me see you for who you actually are, and let flesh quit trying to twist you into something that you're not." He is pure love and joy if you'll choose him every morning. Listen, my younger people that are in here, people my age, whatever, if you need help, text me. If you need to talk to somebody, text me. That's what it's all about, is this unity. Locking arms with one another. Listen, we are at war with the world. We need to get serious about that. This is not a game anymore. You are at the point of death and damnation in hell, or eternal glory with Jesus Christ. Which one do you want? Listen, it's a decision just like this is. You have to make that decision. It's up to you. He is waiting with open arms, but he's a gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything you don't want to do. But my young people, I don't care. Listen, I know it's hard to talk to you moms and dads. I get that. I've been there. Talk to me. I can't ground you, for one. I can't take your phone. I didn't pay for it. None of that good stuff. Talk to me. We can talk. And I don't care what you think it is. Well, gosh, if I tell Josh that, he'll want to shoot me. He'll think I'm an awful person. 9 times out of 10, Josh probably already done that. My older people, I may not be as much inclined as you or have nearly as much wisdom as you guys do. But when your arms fall because you can't hold the staff no longer, I'll be there to pick your elbows up off your chest. This is about loving each other and moving as an organism, as the body of Christ, is what this is about. This is what the church is. And I'm trying to get you to start walking in. You look at the church, from old to young, a living, breathing organism for Jesus Christ. The way it was set up. And you see all these young people coming up here and praising and worshiping. I love seeing that. They figured something out that we ain't. You know how long it took me to get up here and raise my hands? Listen, I fought with him for 3 weeks, church. 3 weeks, right back there. Sack Kayla in that seat. Said, Lord, I really don't want to do this. And finally, I told him, it was about Wednesday. I was at work. I was having a good time with the Lord. And I said, Lord, you bid me to do that one more time. I don't know why, but I'll do it. And we're sitting back there, and I'm telling you, I think they was a half a second into, oh, the blood, I believe is what it was. And I couldn't sit no longer. I said, okay, I'm going. And I get up here, and I'm just trying to thank the Lord for what he's been doing in my life. And then I get hit with all the mamas. And I hear something start changing, and I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm still just trying to thank God. And then I hear Teddy coming. I said, oh, Lord, this ain't going to be good. Because I knew, I could feel that something was changing. You learn to get in that presence. You can feel when the atmosphere changes. If you're praying for somebody, if you're praying for self, Jesus done it. If you're praying for those lost loved ones, if you're praying for guidance, for wisdom, I don't care what it is. You get equipped in this right here, you can feel the Spirit start changing the atmosphere that you're breathing in. And I love it. Praise and worship music. Listen, I'm not going to tell you not to listen to country or what you want to listen to, okay? That's you. Me, myself, I like rock music. Guitars, drums, listen, I love that stuff. I can't listen to it no more. I can't. It changes this from the program it's on now. So that's all deleted. That's done away with. That died with the old man that died up here. Now it's praise and worship. Music has one purpose. That's to praise whatever it's talking about. That's the one thing that's from heaven that is right here, right now. Whatever you're listening to, whether it be a good old boy driving around drinking a couple beers, yada, 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 or I don't really know nothing about rap. I never liked rap, but anyways, whatever that's singing about is what you're praising at that point in time. I just want everybody to know the seriousness of what you're doing. And it is very, very tough to listen to certain things or certain people. Or listen, if you just get on Facebook and sit and read half the arguments and aggravation and yada, yada, yada for 10 minutes, guess what you're going to start doing? Everybody take a guess. You're going to get aggravated, start screaming at the dog. The dog ain't even doing nothing. She's just laying there. And then the kids are going to do one thing, and you're going to get mad at the kids. And then the wife's going to come in and say, hey, can you go do this for me? And you're like, hell and you, I can't get a break. That's how your mindset changes that quick. So why don't we listen to some music that uplifts the King? Because when you're doing that, you want to know where that takes you? Spiritually. And I just want to remind everybody that is not a fairy tale land that people think it is. Come on, Joe. That is more real than what we're living right here. If you push into God a little bit, he'll let you understand that. I'm pretty sure it was Elijah. The servant comes in and says, "We're in trouble now. We got a whole army out the front door." What's Elijah say? "Just chill out. There's more with us than in front of us." And that wasn't good enough. He told the Lord, "Open his eyes." And when I tell you there's chariots of fire and horses of fire and heaven's army coming down to the prophet, that's what happens when you start getting a little bit serious. You think you're alone in a bedroom or wherever your little prayer closet is, or even up here? Listen, I envision the Holy Spirit walking down these aisles. It takes the Holy Spirit to draw somebody lost or somebody that needs up here and through the seats. But when I think of this altar, I don't believe there's any coincidence that that's the first thing I ever thought on was this altar. I see a pull of the Holy Spirit up here. Spiritually. People say, "Well, that's just a man-made thing in a church." You're right. Man made it. But when you got women that come up here and pray that the Spirit of God would fill this place every Sunday, and I'm sure all throughout your day, am I right, ladies? There's something spiritual that the enemy can't deal with. I'm going to try not to go down this rabbit hole like Sean says, but let me tell you something else. Jesus Christ is not buried in the ground somewhere on earth. He's not under no pyramid. He's not dead. That's the only thing that separates me and you from any other religion in the world. The one we serve is alive and well and in heaven, seated beside the Father in glory. Time we serve him like he's alive and well and in glory. But you move in these things. And you work in these things. And if you will start choosing him every morning you wake up, and every evening before you go to bed, and every hour in between. Listen, it don't take much. It really don't. You're just talking to him, say, "Lord, you come on down, just love on me for a minute. I've had a tough day." Listen, the Holy Spirit will wrap you up and hold you. You can't tell me that he won't. He's done it to me. God is so good and so faithful. And we put this, man, I feel like Saul at times with the scales on his eyes. What I feel like the world's like. They're doing everything in their power to make themselves happy. And they just walk straight away from it. And listen, it's not easy at times. I understand that. I get that. It's tough at times. But even then, that's why he sent the helper. I don't want to get in that mess. But if you believe any kind of scripture, the Lord called him he. Not nothing else. He. A man. He. The helper that will love on you. And the difference between times of old in this Bible and us. He would fall on David and Daniel and Elijah. And when he was done, he'd go back. And then they had to walk faithfully in flesh. Now, can y'all imagine that? That's some good men right there. I couldn't do it. I'd probably take 3 steps and already be so mad I'd bite a bullet in 2. That's just how I am. Then he dies. Have y'all seen anything of that Shroud of Turin? Y'all seen those pictures and stuff? I'm not telling you that that is Jesus, and I'm not telling you that it ain't. Okay? I don't know. I'm just an old dumb holler boy from Bruno. I can just tell you what I think. Opinion. Scientists say that this would have to have been a nuclear event. Y'all remember Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II, right? Nuclear in a tomb to make this image appear on this cloth. And not blow the tomb up or wipe Jerusalem out. That same power that made that on that, the same power that lifted Jesus up off the death table right there, is the same power that he set down inside of us when he gave us everything at the cross and then put us up here and said, all right, if you'll just walk with me and talk with me, I'll take you wherever you want to go, and I'll love on you the whole way. You have got to change your mindset when you wake up, when you come to this church, and move in the ways that the Lord wants you to move. Listen, heaven, the marriage supper of the Lamb, it's not going to be quiet. I feel sorry for everybody that says, well, I just don't need to act like that in church, or I don't need to act like that about God. Listen, when I get to hear with my ears, I love you too, son, when I tell Jesus I love you, I'm going to run, and I'm going to dance, and I'm going to sing around the throne room. There ain't nobody going to stop me from praising the Lord. It's time we get our mindsets right to move. Listen, you are called for more. You're not supposed to sit in a seat saved and die. Now, listen. If that's some people's stuff, that's fine and dandy. You're saved, you're sanctified, you're moving with the Lord. Start moving now. Gather, grow, go. I wrote that in here. Listen, we've all gathered. We've all started to grow. Now it's time to go. Take this to everybody outside and give it to an evil world. But I'm done. Emily, if you want to come take prayer requests, I love you guys. Keep the same mindset, and let's get ready to praise the Lord.